When you sing these songs, do you mean them? Hear the words that we just sung. It's by the crystal flowing river. Where is that going to be? In heaven, that's right. By the crystal flowing river, with the ransomed other believers, I will sing. And forever, praise and glorify the King Jesus. Is it true that all that thrills your soul is Jesus? Is it true that He is more than life to you? Is it true that He is fairer than 10,000? And your blessed Lord that you see. We need, when we sing these songs, sing them out strong. Sing them out with meaning. Don't worry about anybody else. You're not singing to them. So don't pay attention to whether they're plugging their ears or not. But sing aloud to the Lord. For indeed, He is a thrill. Take your Bibles and turn to Matthew chapter 22. In Matthew chapter 22, we're gonna look, just take this Sunday and next Sunday to look at these two commandments. And they are absolutely vital for your Christian life. Now, the men in the Sunday school have already got a head start for next week. So if you want to know what next week is, just ask them and they'll tell you to read it for yourself. That's what they'll do. Don't remember, it's in Romans chapter 13, 12 also, but also 12 in chapter 13 that we see this. Here in Matthew chapter 22, we find Jesus is there and He's asked a very tough question. Remember how many commandments there are? The 10 commandments, right? 10? 613 if you count them all out of all Exodus through Deuteronomy. But the 10 commandments, you know them well, don't you? You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make for yourselves any carved image of any likeness of anything that is in heaven above or in the earth beneath or in the waters under the earth. You shall not bow down to them or serve them. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Honor your father and your mother, for that your days may be long in the land which the Lord your God is giving you. Do not murder. Do not commit adultery. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet his wife, nor his manservant, nor his female servant, nor his ox, nor his donkey, nor his corvette, nor anything else that is your neighbor's. The Ten Commandments. Those Ten Commandments are given for what? For us to know how to honor and please God. Now, those Ten Commandments, as important as each one is, just think to yourself, which one is the most important? Well, probably one of the first four. You shall have no other gods before Me. You shall not make the carved image to bow down to it and worship it. You shall not take God's name, misuse His name, to use the name God, the word God, or His proper name, without addressing Him or speaking well of Him, accurately of Him. Remember the Sabbath day? Not that one. That was not as important. But don't tell the Pharisees that. You know what's probably that first one, right? I don't know. You know what we could find in the Bible? The most important one? Right here in Matthew chapter 22. In fact, He was asked, which of those is most important in verse 34? But when the Pharisees heard that He had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. One of them, a lawyer. Now, a lawyer Don't think so much in the terms of our lawyer defending the law. This was an expert of the law, not one that was a prosecutor or defender. Well, although in some ways he did that. He was an expert in the Old Testament law. He said to Jesus, asked Jesus a question, testing him. We're going to catch him on this one. Teacher, they don't call him Lord, which is the greatest commandment in the law? You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. Mark and Luke adds, with all your strength. Deuteronomy, we saw, does not have mind, but has strength. Was Jesus misquoting? No, he's not misquoting. He's telling them what the greatest commandment is. You shall love the Lord your God. Now, let me ask you a simple question that you all know the answer to. Do you love God? The answer is what? Okay. That's the right answer. Now let me see if you really love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength. Do you love Him more than gossip? Do you love Him more than yelling at somebody? Do you love Him more than you do food? Do you love Him more than you do Facebook? Do you love Him more than video games? Do you love Him more than an iPhone? This one's going to hurt. Do you love Him more than the Huskers? Do you love Him more than making money? Do you love Him more than spending money? Do you love Him more than pornography? Do you love Him more than adultery? Do you love Him more than alcohol? Do you love Him more than illegal drugs? Do you love Him more than any sin? You see, we like to think that we love God with all of who we are, but how often do we show hatred for God by disobeying Him? I love God as long as it's not Super Bowl Sunday. Can't wait to be in His house unless I got people coming in. I cannot wait to spend time with my Lord and Savior and His Word, unless my favorite TV program is on. Do you see how that works? We often neglect God instead of love Him. We love Him, but to what degree? Here he says we are to love God with all that we are. In the book of Revelation, the church of Ephesus is commended, and it's they're told that God, Jesus, really loves the fact that they do what is right, that they endure hardships, that they're intolerant of evil. That sounds like a great church, doesn't it? Ours is better, just for the record. They had all the marks and qualities of a good Christian church. But there's one thing they lacked. Love for God. The Corinthian church, written about 50 years previous than to the Ephesian church in about 55 AD, they were rebuked. For though they sought all the great gifts of the Holy Spirit, the spiritual ones especially, the prophecy, miracles, speaking in tongues, their desire and their practice lacked. In 1 Corinthians 13, it lacked love. Love in ministering to others. In Acts chapter 5, Ananias and Sapphira, they had a love for God. But that love for God was only as far as they can make money off of it. For they lied. They said, oh, this is everything. Why? Because their love for God really was the love for the pride and prestige of what everyone else would think of them when they gave to help others. In Matthew chapter 28, Judas, he spent 3 years with Christ, and he gave him a kiss of love, which also was a kiss of betrayal. We're not alone in this endeavor to love God the way we ought to. But here we find that we are to love God with all that we are. I'm going to ask you 3 questions and answer them for you. The first question that we were going to ask is, why should I love God? Why should I love God? Well, we can come up with probably 100 of them, but I'm coming up with just 7 of them for you. One, observe this. God has given you the ability to love. He gave you the ability and need to love. Consider that. How is it that in all creation we have developed a sense of love? If we're evolved all the way from an amoeba and a tadpole and a mosquito, if that's the right line, they'll keep changing it depending on what they feel like they want to do. If that's where I grew from nothing and became a bits of proteins and then DNA and then eventually a single cell, which is impossible, but if it happened, where in the world did the love come from? Everyone loves. I love chips and red Corvettes. You love something else. I love my wife. I kind of like most of you. You know, where does that come from? Where does that come from? You know, God built it into us. In Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, He said, let's make man in our image. The way that we are not exactly like God, but we have characteristics God has placed into us that we share with Him. One of those being the ability to love Him and to love one another. What would life be like without love? Well, I think we'd kind of be like a bunch of robots. We'd kind of be like a bunch of people who see how things work and decide things should be very efficient. That's the goal in life. Love has no part in what's going on there. Why? Because it does no good. Well, at least from a very humanistic standpoint. I just think of it this way. Let's pretend like you're really old. Like 40. And so you're 40 or so, and you've gone through a lot of your life. In fact, you're starting to become a burden because your health is starting to decline. You're looking ahead to retiring and living off of everybody else. Or you're looking ahead to what the government's going to be doing for you. You become a burden. I'm not calling anybody over 40 here. And I'm not saying that those of you that might possibly be over 40, that is your mentality, all right? But just for instance, as a humanistic person, and I look at your life with no love, there's no more reason for you to live. And so why don't we just pull the plug on you? Because after all, you're going to die anyway. Why not speed the process and save the rest of us a lot of heartache money? God has given us that ability and need to love. 1 John 4:8 tells us that God is love. And He's shared that love with us. Not only has He given the ability and need to love, and even for love, He has made you the object of His love. In Ephesians chapter 2, verses 4 and 5 says, but God, who is rich in mercy because of His great love with which He has loved us, even when we were dead in our sin, He made us alive with Christ. By grace you have been saved. You know the next verses coming down the line. For by grace you've been saved through faith. That not of yourselves, but as the gift of God. Not of works, lest any man should boast. Consider that. God loved you so much, whether you realize it or not, whether you accept that truth or not, whether or not you even cared why you were dead, spiritually dead in sin. Romans chapter 5 verse 10, you're enemies of God. He said, I'm going to show my love towards them. He made you the object of His love. I should also love God because of many kind things He does. God does many kind things for us, not just because I'm good, but because I'm bad. Not because I'm bad, despite the fact that I'm bad. Matthew chapter 5, verses 45 and 46 says, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. For He makes the sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sends the rain on the just and the unjust. For if you love those who love you, what reward do you have? Do not even tax collectors do the same? God demonstrates His love even on those who don't love Him. We have been blessed this year with rain. Think about it. Last year we were cursed with famine, with drought. And this year, all we can do is look out in the front yard. Our front yard has become Lake Rittmiller before it goes on down to the street. And then you have your lakes in your own yard. I thought about Brian's skis, in fact, the other day. Go out there skiing in the yard. I think the squirrels were. We've been blessed with that rain. And you know what? There's a lot of wicked people here in Omaha. Why would God send us rain? We don't deserve it. He's a merciful God. A loving God. Well, what about those people that are wicked? Well, He delays judgment of the unbeliever. Why are all those wicked people around there? Why isn't God just destroying them? Because of His love and mercy. In Romans chapter 2, verse 4, or do you despise the riches of His goodness, His forbearance, or putting up with His long suffering? Not knowing that the goodness of God or the love of God is to lead you to repentance. He sent Jesus Christ to be the substitute for your punishment. Because God demonstrated His love towards us that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. In 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 24, He Himself, Jesus Christ, bore our sins in His body, that we, having died to sin, might live for righteousness. It was by His stripes you have been healed. See, Jesus took the punishment for your sin. Why? Because God loves you, John 3:16 says. God gives eternal life to the believer. He doesn't have to give us. We could die like dogs. As soon as our breath leaves, that's the end of us. We cease to exist. If we cease to exist, what's the purpose of existing now? You're going to die anyway. That's what Solomon, he argues in the book of Ecclesiastes. Look, I get this job and I work really hard and I have kids. And these kids, I do my best for them and for my wife. And guess what? I die. And then when I die, they just blow the money anyway. So what did I do all that for? It didn't do me any good. And then when I'm dead, it doesn't do me any good. So why would I do that? That makes no, so they can have a better life? That makes a lot of sense. Why would I work so hard for them to have a better life? Why wouldn't I want me to have a better life? It doesn't matter, we're all going to die anyway. So the man in his poverty dies, and the man in his riches die, and it's like chasing after the wind. There's no point to it. It's meaningless.
Life has no purpose or meaning because we're just going to die anyway. But God gives eternal life to those who accept God's gift of salvation, who accept His love, accept Jesus Christ as their Savior, to eternal life in heaven, to those who hear God's word but say, that's not for me. God says, all right, I love you, we'll let you make that decision. You'll pay the consequences for all eternity. It's because God loves you. God gives eternal life to the believer in Titus 3:7. Having been justified by His grace, we should become heirs according to the hope of eternal life. Psalm 116 verse 1 tells us that God answers prayer. I love the Lord because He has heard my voice and my supplication. Oh, what a joy it is to know that God, when we pray, He hears us. So that's why some of the reasons I should love God. I'm sure we can come up with 100. That might be a challenge for you. What happens if I do love God? What happens to me when I love God? When I do what Jesus says I'm supposed to do, to love God with all of my entire being. What happens? Well, the first thing I'm going to do is I'm going to start praising God. Not complaining to God. Not complaining about God. Not even complaining about y'all. Why? Because I love God. And I know God loves you. If God can put up with you, I should too. I do more than put up with you. I love you guys. You guys are great. Every one of you. I'm glad you're here today. Psalm 70 verse 4 says, let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. Let all those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. You know, not only am I going to praise God when I love Him, because I love Him, I'm going to hate evil. I'm going to hate sin. It's going to change the way that I view my sin. It's going to change the way that I view other people's sin. Now, I'm going to love them, but the sin, I still love me. My wife will tell you that. She remembers that card I gave her. Roses are red, violets are blue. I love me and so should you. I love me. If I love God, I should hate sin. If I love my wife, why would I do stuff that makes her angry? I might irritate her some just for the fun, but not to really make her angry. Because that's not good for me either. Because I love her. I want to show her I love her. When it comes to God, Psalm 97:10 says, you who love the Lord, hate evil. Hate that sin. You know, when we love God, God will use us. In John chapter 21, verse 15 and 18, you have Jesus sitting there, and they're around the campfire, and they're cooking breakfast. As they're there, we see Jesus after the resurrection, and Peter and the other disciples that were with them. And Jesus looks at Peter and says, do you love me more than these? Now I question, is Jesus asking Peter, do you love me more than everyone else loves me? Or is he saying, do you love me more than you love them? I'll let you debate that the rest of the day in your own mind. Do you love me more than these? Peter says, well, of course you know I love you. That wasn't satisfying to Jesus. Not that Jesus had to hear this great I love you thing and sob story, but it makes Peter a little uncomfortable. P- Peter, do you really love me more than all these? Oh, Lord, you know I love you. The third time he says it, do you really love me more than these? Now, I'll tease my wife and ask her if she loves me. That usually means I want money or something from her. But to say it three times, Peter was hurting. You could see that in his last response. Well, God, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus then says, each time, feed my sheep. In other words, feed those who are following me. Be a leader. When we love God, God will use you. God will use you when you are loving Him. He may lead you in some sort of leadership position, as a deacon, as a missionary, as a pastor somewhere. He may lead you as a Sunday school teacher or a children's church teacher. He may lead you in being we'll call you a lay leader in the sense that you don't have an official position, but because of your character and your influence on people, you lead them closer to Christ in their walk. God will use you when you love the Lord. God will protect you in Psalm 145 verse 20. The Lord preserves all those who love Him. And the fifth one there, you will love others. In 1 John chapter 3, verse 16 and 17, by this we know love, because He, Christ, laid down His life for us, that we also ought to lay down our lives for our brethren. But whoever is of this whoever has this world's goods and sees his brother in need and shuts up his heart from him, how does the love of God abide in him? In other words, if God's love is in you, you're going to love and help those who are around you. Especially the believers. 1 John 4:10-11. In this is love, not that we love God, but that He loved us and sent His Son to be the propitiation for our sins. Beloved, if God loves us this way, we ought also to love one another. Jesus said, and here we find in 1 John chapter 5, verse 3, this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments. Jesus Himself said in John, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. What will happen when we love God? The things that naturally happen when you love somebody. When things that naturally happen when you love God. Let me ask you, how are you developing your love for God? Remember the Ephesians were told, you're doing all the right things, you're keeping my commandments, that's good, but you've lost your love for me. Our love for God is not a servant-master relationship. The servant is told to do something, and whether the servant likes it or not, they do it. They have no allegiance, they have no feelings, there's no reason for them to feel feelings that way. They're a slave. I shouldn't use the word servant. Slave is a better idea in our mind. We are not slaves of God. We are in some sense of the word, but not from the standpoint that, well, because God said it, I have to do it, and doesn't matter what. No. Jesus says, I call you friends. God wants a relationship of love between us. Here He says, love the Lord your God. He didn't say the greatest commandment in the Bible is that you do whatever God says to you. Do you see that? Right there in Matthew 22:37. It does not say the greatest commandment is do whatever God says. That's not the greatest commandment. God doesn't want you just to do what He says. He wants that. But He wants you to love Him. To have those emotions for Him. to have that relationship with Him. Christ died on the cross. Why? So that way, not just you go to heaven, but you can have a relationship with God. God is a God of relationships. He designed you for a relationship with Him and a relationship with other believers. When we love God, then what happens is we do what He wants. Why? Because we love Him. Today, after the morning service, you're going to come rushing up here on the organ side. Why? Because you love serving the Lord. I did not come up and chase you down and drag you up here and say, "That's it, you have to be up here." Not yet, at least. Why? Because I love you. And why else? Because I want you to love the Lord enough that you're serving Him. That makes sense, right? We need to serve the Lord. How can we develop our love for Him in doing these things? Well, the same way you get along with your wife or husband. Same way you get along with all those that you love. The first thing is to spend time with Him. Meditate often on His love for you. We talked about some of those things, and you can come up with a list of far more than that. How has God loved me? How has God loved me today? I've got up in the morning. That's one thing. I'm able to stand before you. That's another thing. I had food on the table this morning. Did you ever think about that? That's a matter of God's love and provision. God loved me because He loves me. I'm able to give to the church in the offering box. Because He loves me, I'm able to express joy to you. God has loved me in so many different ways. I need to think about that and appreciate all that God has done for me, as we've done yet this morning. Not only that, I need to listen to Him and I need to talk to Him. When you are sitting down on the couch because you're tired, men, but for the long day of whether you've been at work or you're just finishing up the honeydew list for that day, then you sit there and guess who wants to talk to you? The honey. You did the do list and now it's her turn. It's the honey time. And now she's going to talk to you while you try diligently to pay attention. Why? Because she enjoys that. She builds that relationship with you. Even if she's there to stare at you, do it all wrong, so she can spend time with you. Why? Because she loves you. And the more time you spend together, the more you share new experiences, the more you communicate back and forth, guess what? The stronger your love comes. Sometimes that love says, "I'm tired of you, you need to leave now." We don't want to get on each other's nerves, do we? But as we strive to demonstrate His love to each other, we're building that relationship. You need to go home in your own room, whether it's your room or the den or the man cave now they have. You need to go in that room, sit down and shut up. Just listen to God for once. Spend some time with Him. Praying, listening, reading His Word, looking at the Psalms. If you've been reading the Psalms as the bulletin prescribes for you, you grasp a greater appreciation for who He is. Your love will grow in Him. Finally, serve Him with all your heart. Even as you serve your loved ones, your family, your brothers and sisters here in Christ, I tell you what, let me give you just a little glimpse. We got brothers and sisters that serve this morning. They love you so much, they made coffee. They brought donuts. They taught your Sunday school class. They come and give you a handshake or a hug. When you get up and leave, they're going to talk to you. They're going to shake your hand and hug you again. They're going to listen if you have prayer requests that you want them to pray for. They'll listen to you. Why? Because they love you. They're going to give you a ride home. They're going to take you out to eat. All those things. Why? Because they love you. They're serving you because they love you. And when you serve God, it helps build and demonstrate your love towards Him. What's the greatest commandment of one commandment in the whole universe? What's the greatest commandment of everything? The one thing that I need to be doing consistently, don't forget that, consistently, love God.